Hello, this is Reverend Judith Laxer. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for listening. Our Geyer's Temple service today is entitled Love Your Mother. My wish is that the food for thought offered brings great nourishment for your soul. The Geyer's Temple ministry is sustained by those like you who partake of its teachings. If you feel served or inspired or comforted by this offering, please push the donate button now and give generously. We'd be most grateful. Thank you, and blessed be. Well, my friends, here we are on Mother's Day. Thank you so much again for joining me and all of us. Recently, I attended a virtual lecture given by Robin Wall Kimmerer, who is an author of the magnificent book, Braiding Sweetgrass. And it's one of my five all-time favorite books ever. And if you haven't read it, I recommend that you do. She is an amazing woman, and she is a Native American woman. She is a botanist and a teacher and an amazing wordsmith. And she spoke in this lecture of the differences between the indigenous worldview and the Western worldview, which could not be more different, obviously. And I was so inspired by her lecture that I'm using all of her talking points actually for our service today, because it was just the most beautiful thing that I've ever heard. And one of the things that I love so much about it, and you know, I know we all can't wait to get together in person, physically together, and that is very true. I'm also looking forward to gathering in person with those of you who are local to Seattle whenever that time is right. And the blessing of technology is not only that we can continue to meet each other even when we can't be physically together, but in a situation like this, to watch a lecture, you know, normally I'd be sitting out in an audience and she would be like this tiny little dot or smaller and way further away on the stage. And here, you know, she was as close as I appear to you now. And so it was very, very intimate. And that just made it even more enjoyable to me that I got to see her up close and feel like she was just sitting right there in my living room with me, you know. Anyway, she spoke of magnificent things, and I just wanted to share a lot of them with you today. Are we having trouble?
Your mic is...
My microphone. Needs to be here. Can you hear me okay? Can I get a thumbs up?
Move it forward.
Move it forward. Are we hearing me okay? Yes. Okay. Heads are nodding. Great. Thank you. Thank you. My team helps me. Blessed be my team. So, Robin Wall Kimmerer spoke of gratitude and respect and reciprocity, which are not all that common in the Western worldview, are they? Which instead touts that we need production, we need to be productive and to continue to produce and consume, and that we need more and more and even more in order to be happy. That's what the Western worldview would tell us. And she wanted to offer a different perspective that I would like to relay here to you today. Kimmerer tells us that our first responsibility is gratitude. And I found that such a beautiful sentiment, of course, but an interesting thing too, because we think in terms of responsibility as, you know, work and a burden. It's our responsibility, you know, like it's a bad thing. And we also tend to think of gratitude as, well, maybe not us in this community, but often gratitude is not our first go-to. You know, even the word, you know, the root of the word gratitude, which I've talked about in Geyer's Temple before many times probably, you know, it's the same root of the word grace and gracious. And sometimes we think of gratitude as that extra, you know, like the grace notes of life. Like maybe we'll remember to say thank you, or it's the thing that happens at the end. But she says that gratitude is our first responsibility. And when she said that, I thought about, you know, the truth of the word responsibility, which actually means our ability to respond. And we get to choose how we're going to respond. And if we choose to respond with gratitude first, it flips the entire paradigm and it is a completely different worldview. I just thought that was magnificent. The expression of gratitude, she says, of course, is a sign of respect. And we demonstrate respect for the earth when we remember that she is alive, that she is an animate being rather than a natural resource. She went off about how much she dislikes those words, natural resource. And one reason in part is because when we think of the earth as a resource, then we think she's just there for the taking, right? Whereas if we think of her as a live sentient being, we're going to be a little bit more mindful and we're going to enter into a different sort of relationship with her. She asked us to consider what would happen if we became fluent with the worldview that seeks to better know with the worldview that seeks to know more fully what our relationship to the earth looks like, rather than what we can take from the earth. We're having trouble with some sound, I think. So hold on one second here, and we're going to see if that changes things. Are we hearing okay? I'm still experiencing sound as fading on and off with occasional distortion. Yes, we are trying very hard to work on that now. I'm hoping
so
that
when you project,
yes.
Judith, it seems to be better for me.
Okay.
Can
so,
I get nods from people if it's better when she's speaking louder?
Okay, I'm going to speak up. How's that? Is that better? Oh, I'm just going to shout the service today. And why not? I'm going to shout it from the moon because this is so important what I have to say today. Okay, so where was I? What would happen if we were to become more fluent with our worldview that seeks to know more fully what our relationship to the earth looks like? So rather than what we can take from the earth, what does the earth ask of us? Now, it is a given that living on earth, which all of us are, because we're earthlings, we are going to take from the earth. We're going to take our food and our clothing and our shelter. It's a given that we have to take from the earth because we are of the earth. And of course, we're going to return the earth to the earth when the whole game is over. But at a very basic level, that's at a very basic level. But then we must ask ourselves what the earth wants of us in return. And this is a completely different kind of relationship for us to be in. Kimmerer tells us that the earth asks for gratitude, recognition of the world as a gift. And also that worldview that everything is a gift rather than a given shifts our focus from what we don't have or can't get or what's wrong to everything that is going right for us. It's a shift. It doesn't annihilate our troubles, but it does sort of start to bring things a little bit more into balance. So when we recognize the earth and the world as a gift, it is the antidote to the messages that we have to have more in order to be happy, that we must consume more in order to be happy. And the reason for that is because when we get into relationship with the earth this way and we are focused on what we're grateful for, we are focused on what we're grateful for and our mind is on what we have. And that inherently makes us more satisfied with what it is that we have, because we're not focused on what we don't have or can't get. And interestingly enough, she tells us that gratitude is a radical act in a consumptive-driven society. Of course it is. And I believe that I'm speaking to some radicals here. And I know that I live rather radically myself. And so what a great antidote that is to the message that says more, more, more is the only way to go. And in fact, more, more, more has brought us where we are now. And that is at the brink of some pretty serious trouble. Consuming less is the way to a healthy future for the plants and for the people and for the planet. And this next thing that she said, I think for me was the pinnacle of the entire lecture. And there's still plenty more. She said, gratitude engenders self-restraint. Because awareness of that gratitude brings satisfaction and contentment through a sense of abundance in relationship. And that those who practice gratitude consume less And they also happen to be more satisfied. They are more content with what they have. So gratitude engenders self-restraint, and gratitude also engenders reciprocity, because the earth asks us to give back. What would happen, she asks, if we entered into a relationship of reciprocity with the living world? Because then the question is, how do we give back to the living earth? When we embrace the principle of reciprocity, we want to give our own gifts back. Reciprocity, and this is a quote, reciprocity, or returning the gift, is more than just good manners. It's how the biophysical world works. Balance in ecological systems arise from the negative feedback loops. When she first said that, I thought, negative? Wait a minute, because, you know, we think of negative as bad. But in this instance, a negative feedback loop means nothing is wasted. We take from her, we give back to her. There's like no plastic left in the oceans, you know what I mean? It's just, there's a beautiful negative feedback loop. So balance in ecological systems arises from the negative feedback loops, from cycles of giving and taking. We are bound by the rules that govern our ecosystem function. We are also bound by those same rules. Unlimited growth on a finite planet is impossible. We must always give our gifts back. I'm speaking louder, you know, so that I can make sure you can hear it because of the tech, and I feel like I'm yelling at you. So if it seems like I'm being a little bit stronger than usual, it's just volume. Okay, I probably said that for my own head more than you. So what are the gifts that we need to give back? Then she was asking us, what are our gifts that we can give back to the earth? And of course, she had some suggestions. So these are the suggestions that Kimmerer made. Gratitude, justice, science, restoration, arts, farms, policy, regenerative economy, respect, land care, raising good kids, care for the land, and my personal favorite, raising a ruckus. I like to raise a ruckus, as you can probably tell. These are great gifts, and each one of us has our own unique gifts that we can add to this list as well. So it would be good for us to ponder, what are the gifts that I give back to the earth? What are the gifts that I can give back to our Mother Earth to contribute now from the positive take. I know it sounds so counterintuitive, but to the negative feedback loop. What can I give back to help bring that balance? That is crucial, and it's crucial now, my friends. Another way to demonstrate our respect, she said, is by paying attention. And she even talked about how, isn't it interesting how we call it paying attention? Because it's something that we give. Our attention is something that we give. She said paying attention generates wonder, and it generates joy, and it brings us into a state of amazement. And I don't know about you, but wonder, joy, and amazement, these are things that I would so much rather experience than fear and dread and anxiety and loss and grief. One of the ways that we pay attention is to know or learn the names of the beings around us, which is something done, so well in pagan communities, I think, and something done so well by people who love nature. Like, we take the time to learn the names of the things that are growing all around us. She said, our ancestors knew hundreds and hundreds of names of the plants just two generations ago. And of course they did, because they lived so close to the earth. They were mostly feeding themselves out of their own gardens. They had to know what it was, and they learned, and it came down the pike generation after generation, about the world and the earth living all around us. Now, in the last several generations, where food comes from the grocery store, we have lost so much of that knowledge. So it's a sign of respect to learn the names of what is growing around us. And learning their names builds relationship with them. Just like we take the time to learn the names of the people in our community or the names of our neighbors, right? It's a way that we enter into better relationship. She said, and this was just heartbreaking to hear this part, that there was a study done and they showed children 100 different corporate logos and they could recognize most of them. You know, like McDonald's arches and the Amazon smile and what have you. But when they put up 100 images of different leaves of trees and different kind of plants, the children could recognize about 10 of them. 10 out of 100. And actually one of them they recognized as Christmas tree. So Kimmerer said, so she considers that really 9, not 10. Not noble fir, not Douglas fir, Christmas tree. How sad is that? That our children are not learning the names of the earth that supports them. This is how we can start to turn this around by making sure that this happens. Another thing she talked about that contributes to this Western worldview that keeps separating and otherizing and marginalizing the living world is what she calls linguistic imperialism. And she said a lot about this, but I'm just going to paraphrase. And I want to talk about one particular point in it that I just thought was so beautiful and so lovely. So what happens is that, you know, when we say, for example, that, you know, our grandmother is in the kitchen and someone say, oh, really? What is she doing in the kitchen? She's cooking. Oh, what is she cooking? Right. So we have a pronoun for her. We say she or her. Right. Or if it was grandpa, we would say he or him. But when we look at something out in nature that we are not in relationship, we marginalize it and call it by it. There's a bear outside. Oh my God, where is it? Or there's a tree over there and it's, you know, we can get some shade. Where is that tree? Where is it? I need the shade. So we it. And that takes us out of relationship with it, as opposed to being in relationship by considering everything else in the world a relative. And so there's a word in her native language, which I could not pronounce, but the suffix of it is ki, K-I, which refers to the earth. And so she said, if we have he and we have she and we have they, we can have ki, and we can call those things that we normally it, ki. And then she said, well, then we're going to need a plural for that. And we already have a word for that. We can just add an N on the end and call them kin. I just thought that was so beautiful. What a way to shift from exclusion to inclusion, from othering to relationship, from entitlement to gratitude and respect. The last thing that she mentioned that I thought was just so beautiful is that when we pay attention like that, it helps us stay present and acknowledge the pain of the world. We see equally the beauty and the wounds. You know, we see the mountain, but we also see the clear cut. We see the canyon, but we also know we are digging the mines to take the lifeblood out of the earth. And so paying attention to suffering that goes on around us is not to drag us down. But what it does is it opens up and strengthens our capacity and ability to be responsible. And she says, you know, if we fall in love with the living earth, we can't just be bystanders to its destruction. She says that attention becomes intention, which coalesces itself into action. It's one thing to know about the destruction of our precious planet and ecosystem, and it's another to do something about it. So if you would, take a moment now, close your eyes and go within once more, and take a deep breath, and reconnect to your grounding core deep within the earth. Feel yourself grounded and connected to our beautiful mother, Great Gaia, mother of us all. And bring her to your mind and let yourself feel your love for our common mother. Love your mother for just a moment. And so continuing on with our theme of gratitude and reciprocity and paying attention, bring to mind now, think of something in particular, something that you are particularly grateful for that Mother Earth provides. Of course, we've already established she provides everything for us. But bring to mind one thing in particular that's your favorite right now. Maybe it's the flowers blooming, or the longer days, or, you know, asparagus in season. Bring to mind, choose one thing, and feel your gratitude for it, and let that gratitude fill your being completely. Good, and now bring to mind something that you will give back, some action you will take, something specific that you will do to contribute to that negative feedback loop. It can be something very, very simple. It doesn't have to be grand or huge or take a lot of energy or make too much trouble for you. Just think about what that one thing is. Maybe you'll start to compost your kitchen scraps, or maybe you'll be more mindful about how you recycle, or maybe you'll choose to limit your spending on new items for a while, or perhaps you'll support an organization that is working to restore the ecosystem. One way or another, take a moment now and determine something, one thing that you will give back to our common mother. And if you're already giving so much back to our common mother, think of one more thing you can do. Good, and finally, I'll ask you to bring to mind one plant, some plant that you see all the time that you don't know the name of. And promise to look it up and learn its name. Perhaps you'll decide to learn the name of one plant that grows nearby to where you live each week for a little while. This is a great way to pay attention to the green and growing world of our common mother. Picture that plant in your mind now, or that tree or that flower, something that you have noticed, but you don't know the name of, and resolve to learn the name of it now. Good, and then take a nice deep breath once more. Oh, and gently bring yourself back here to our service. You know, this is our 21st year of offering Gaia's Temple services. And over the years at the different Mother's Day services, I have talked about every aspect of our mother, from our actual mothers, our ancestors, the people who have mothered us, even if they're not biological, or not our biologicals, whether we have had children, whether we haven't, how we mother, the great mother. I know that this day can be fraught for a lot of us who did not have a good relationship with our birth mother, or who do not know our birth mother. It can be sad for those who have lost our birth mothers. And that's why I try to tie in the aspect of the divine feminine, whether we are mothers, whether we had a good mother, whether we had a bad mother, regardless of what our personal situation is, we can always think of the earth as our mother because she is, and the ways of the feminine, which are not specific to the gender of female, we know that, and honor that divine feminine, the ways of the feminine, which are loving, nurturing, sustaining, comforting, intuitive, compassionate, understanding. We can always strive to be those things instead of only seeking those things for ourselves. And that also puts us into better practice of relationship, of gratitude, and reciprocity, and paying attention. So, at the Mother's Day services each year, we always sing Sacred Pleasure as we did at the beginning, and also Every Woman, both songs by Shauna Carroll. And sometimes we have other songs as well, but we always sing these two. And I love Shauna Carroll's Every Woman. I love all of Shauna's music. But I love this song in particular because I love its use of nature as a metaphor for the feminine. I love, it's a reminder that we needn't steal or own or buy the love of the feminine, that it's a gift and that it is given when we honor, and that that honor must be given first, and then it is easily and lovingly given, no strings attached. And I think that it's especially in line with our service today of our Mother Earth. So Mari's going to put that song up. Many of us have sang this and have sung this in Gaia's Temple over and over, but we're going to sing it again today. And today we get to sing it along with Shauna's recording.
A flower, and she offers the sweetest nectar. Every woman is a river, and her sweet love ends all thirst. And you don't have to steal it, you don't have to own it. You don't have to take it, you don't have to buy it. It's a gift, freely given. All you gotta do is honor it, just honor her. Every woman is a mountain. Lay your head down, take your rest. Every woman is a fire. She will answer all your desires. You don't have to steal it, you don't have to own it, you don't have to take it, you don't have to buy it. It's a gift, freely given. All you gotta do is honor it, just honor her. Every woman is the goddess embodied, a sacred vessel of divine love. You don't have to steal it, you don't have to own it, you don't have to take it, you don't have to buy it. It's a gift, freely given. All you have to do is honor it, just honor her.
You'll be glad you did when you honor her. Makes me emotional to hear Shauna's voice. So beautiful. Thanks for singing along with me. Well, my friends, may gratitude and respect be the way forward for all of us. As the season continues to mature and flowers begin to turn to fruit, may our lives be fruitful as well. May reciprocity ensure our healthy continuance, and may the mother within you feel honored today, loved, and respected, today and always. Blessed be. So this is where we open up our floor for our community prayers. I think there's a place in the reactions for you to raise your hand. If you have a prayer, then Mari will pull you on the spotlight and you can say your prayer. And I would like to begin today, actually, and when you finish with your prayer, say blessed be, so we know that you are finished, and we will offer our prayers up for the whole community. And I'd like to begin today because I've had a request from my friend Lavanya Reddy, who is an Indian woman and is leading a meditation later today at 5 o'clock for prayers for India. And if you're aware of what's going on there, they are losing thousands of lives a day to COVID. It is just horrible, horrible. And so I offer up a prayer for ease and peace and comfort and vaccines easily available to all, regardless of their station and economic status. And may India receive the prayers, the blessing, the love, and the support now from the rest of the world. Blessed be. Does anyone else have any prayers I want to offer up? Really? Are we all that fabulous and we need no prayers? I suppose that's a good thing, but I'm a little shocked.
I want to honor a prayer for my two granddaughters, who one is homeless and I don't know where she is, and the other is just struggling as a mother and human being, and because she doesn't fit in the norm. So there are Cassidy and Alexis Fiedler.
Blessed be.
Yes, as Mari says in the chat, if you don't want to be verbalizing your prayers, you can type them into the chat and we will hold your prayers with our loving energy as well. Anyone else have anything they'd like to offer today?
I'd like to say something. I talk a prayer for my neighbor whose husband died last night. And also thank Reverend Judith for the wonderful service. It really, really was very beautiful. Honoring Mother Earth really helped me a lot today.
Blessed be. Thank you, Constance. Anyone else?
I have two friends who get to that age, and a lot of people are starting to take care of their aging parents, and that just seems to be something happening a lot. So I just want to offer gratitude and energy out to all my friends who are taking the opportunity to stay home from work, to take time off, to take care of their mothers or fathers as we approach that age, as our parents are aging. Blessed be.
Thank you, Mary. Anyone else?
Can I jump in there, Judith?
Yes, please do.
Just a prayer of comfort and peace to many of my friends who have a difficult time with this day of the year. And a prayer of enormous gratitude for my three daughters and the ongoing blessing that they are to me. I'm so grateful for them. and grateful for this community as ever. Blessed be.
Blessed be. May all our prayers, spoken and unspoken, be heard and answered. Blessed be. So, if we were gathering in person today, this is when we would pass the love offering baskets and ask for your contributions to sustain our beautiful Gaia's Temple ministry. Of course, we can't do that, but we can pass the virtual basket. And so what I'll say at this time, which many of you know this already, but in case you're new here for the first time, Gaia's Temple tithes 10% of what comes into our love offering baskets on the day of the service to other nonprofit organizations that are in alignment with our mission, vision, and values. And today we will be tithing 10% to the Rainforest Action Network, which campaigns for the forests, their inhabitants, and the natural systems that sustain life by transforming the global marketplace through education, grassroots organization, and nonviolent direct action. So please know that whatever you contribute to Gaia's Temple today, and you can do that by going to the Gaia's Temple website, gaiastemple.org, clicking on the donate button right there, and then making your contribution. If you do that today, then know that 10% of what you contribute will be going to the Rainforest Action Network. Thank you in advance for all of your support. It means the world to me personally and to this entire community. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So Mari's going to put up the thank you, Mother Earth, and we'll sing that through a couple of times. And if you will all mute yourselves, then you can sing along with me as we once more fill ourselves with gratitude. Thank you, Mother Earth, for your gifts of love today. Thank you, Mother Earth, we are following your way. Thank you, Mother Earth, for your gifts of love today. Thank you, Mother Earth, we are following your way. Once more. Thank you, Mother Earth, for your gifts of love today. Thank you, Mother Earth, we are following your way. Thank you so much, my friends. So, next month will be our next service, June 13th. It's actually 1 week before Father's Day, but since we celebrate Mother's Day every May because our service happens to fall on the second Sunday, which is always Mother's Day. We always do some sort of honoring of the men and the divine masculine and the pagan god on our June service. So please join us on June 13th for an early Father's Day service. And also today, after we are complete here, I hope that you'll hang out for a little while and share some fellowship with us. So we'll turn the recording off and we can gab for a little while. So I hope you stay with us here. A few thank yous for such amazing people who do so much for this ministry. I want to thank our ancestor Shauna Carroll for all of the gorgeous music, and to each and all of you for singing along today and being the talent this month. I'd like to thank Patrick Horgan for singing in the elements and for releasing them with all of his beautiful animals. And to Stina Brown and Greta Brown for that beautiful invocation today. And also, Greta, I want to give you a special thank you also, because I understand that you helped your mom so much with creating all those beautiful bouquets for that fabulous fundraiser yesterday. So thank you so much for all your help. And know how much your help supports Gaia's Temple. So thank you. Mwah. That is for you. And as always, we are grateful to Mari Budlong, our tech goddess, for helping us along with this fabulous service. And hey, I learned how to do this yesterday. Ha ha! That's me clapping for all of you. Thank you so much for your help and support. And before we go back to Patrick to release the directions, and then we sing our final song. I'd like to end today with this closing thought. And this is actually a poem, and it's from a book that Sean McKee, who is a member of our congregation, gifted to me. And it's called, well, you probably can't see it, Finding Mother God, Poems to Heal the World by Carol Lynn Pearson. And this one is called Message from Mother, with appreciation to mythologist Joseph Campbell. For all those little gifts you gave to the mythologists and archaeologists to give to me, I thank you, Mother. For that precious big-bellied figurine pressed by Paleolithic hands and the magical naked outline of you on the walls of caves, I thank you. I thought I was a motherless child in an always motherless house. And then your little surprises began to come, as did my tears, my grateful tears, for there was your soft and ancient voice. I am here. I am female. I am divine. Thank you for the word mother, spoken centuries before the word father, for blood and baby do not lie, but testify that mother was the first thing, the power that carried and birthed the universe and all in it, the sea, the earth, the animals, the upright ones, the men and women who lived in peace with her safe cycle and gathered food to the easy sound of wind and rain. I am here. I am female. I am divine. I thank you, Mother, for brooding over your people when the dark times came, when the invaders came, the Indo-Europeans from the north and the Semites from the desert, turning the birthing upside down. So Athena was born of the forehead of Zeus, and Eve was born of the rib of Adam. Their gods were male, and their swords were bronze, and they named you Abomination, and butchered and buried you without knowing they were planting you. For you are the transformer who turns a seed into a tree, the tree of life who is sturdy and many and grew in all places, the goddesses of many names that I read now on pages made from the tree that speak for the tree. I am here. I am female. I am divine. Athena, Ceres, Caridwen, Demeter, Diana, Hathor, Inanna, Isis, Kali, Maat, Venus, hundreds more, shining black or ivory or red, and each a name that points to Mother. The past does what the past is and is gone. Men are still warriors, but not all, for many understand that our very being turns now on our turning to our mother, who is ready to correct our view of heaven so that God herself and God himself, who were always one, can join on earth to bless the confused billions. The next step is ours, daughters of the mother. And did we ever think she would not uphold us in our essential mission? We thank you, Mother, as now we rise. The women with microphones in the halls of government, the halls of justice, of media, of religion. The women penning books and scribbling poems. The women helping women by a goat or a sewing machine. The women marching with signs and songs. There is power in our words, and our words are these. We are here. We are female. We are divine. Blessed be. All right, Patrick, help us sing out those elements, would you?
To the earth and the north. Go if you must, stay if you will, with
within or without, we remain with you still.
Spirits of water in the west,
go if you must, stay if you will, within or without, we remain with you still.
Spirits of the fire in the south,
go if you must, stay if you will, within or without, we remain with you still.
Spirits of the air in the east,
go if you must, stay if you will, within or without, we remain with you still. Go if you must, stay if you will, within or without, we remain with you still.
Blessed be.
Blessed be. All right, let's sing our final song. Oops. All right, blessed be. Thank you, Patrick. Let's sing our final song together. Here we go. The circle is open and unbroken. May the love of the goddess go in our hearts. Merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be. Happy Mother's Day, my friends. Thank you. Blessed be.